When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello, folks, and welcome to our latest podcast. Today we're featuring part one of an interview with Chaplain Bill Goodrich, founder of God Cares Ministry. This organization helps to equip God's people to assist nursing home residents in finding hope and peace in Jesus. He has a very inspiring story to tell about a resident that he helped firsthand, and we really hope you'll enjoy this interview. Thank you.
It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us again. I'm honored to introduce Chaplain Bill Goodreach. He is the president and founder of God Cares Ministries. Bill, could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, thank you, Timothy. I so appreciate the opportunity to be on with you. Yeah, back in 1994, God led me to leave my full-time work and also my wife and to begin a ministry that we now call God Cares Ministry. And our work and goal is to help residents in care homes find hope and peace in Jesus. And the way that we do that is we look for Christian volunteers who will befriend them and as a friend share the love and the word of Jesus either in one-to-one visits and or group services like Bible studies or worship services. So we've been doing that now for 26 years, and we absolutely love the privilege to help people find hope and peace in Jesus.
So how would you say people could get involved if they wanted to volunteer?
Well, you know, it's not rocket science to get involved and do this work, but there are some things that you have to know. And if you know them, it can save you a lot of problems. People go into the homes, they don't know who to contact inside the home. And if they don't connect with the right person, they might even be turned away. There are certain things that we can't do and can do. And so God Cares likes to provide either a training guide or a training video seminar or a live seminar, depends on what you're able to do. And through a one-day seminar, we are able to give people, Christians, the nuts and bolts for getting started. A lot of times people will call the administrator or the social worker or the nurse, and these are not the right people to connect with. The main person to connect with is the activity director. so we understand what her needs are and what she or he is desiring, and so we're able to help the potential volunteer understand how to make that connection.
Now, what I've always been interested in, if you put this together with, say, people who are blind or people in wheelchairs, they may want to serve, but they may not have that opportunity. Is there a way they can visit people on the phone?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that we've been doing is, because of the pandemic, we cannot get into the buildings. And keep in mind, when I say we, we have a little staff here that we do our own visitation, but what our goal is to really help others go into the nursing homes. And so we have about 1,200 volunteers who are visiting in care homes. This is pre-pandemic. But now that we have, the doors are locked because of the virus, everyone's doing creative things. And one of the things that we're doing is we have a Zoom account, and we arrange with the activity director a Zoom visit. And so what she does is she takes the iPad around or some kind of a notepad, knocks on the door, asks the resident, would you like a visit? And when they say, yeah, I'd like a visit, well, here's Chaplain Bill. He'd like to visit with you. So she sets the pad up for the person so I can see his face or her face, and they can see mine. They turn the television off, and then they leave for about 15 or 20 minutes. And we have this nice little conversation, which often leads to prayer and encouragement from the Word of God. And we have that time of fellowship, and then the activity person comes back, picks up the pad, takes me down the hall to the next person. So that has been one of, particularly I'm up in Ohio, and right now in January, it's too cold to do window visits. During the summer, we were doing window visits, and we were actually able to take our portable sound system. They would let us put it through the window onto a table, and we stood outside with a microphone, and we were able to share like a Bible fellowship time is what we call it. It's a little bit different than when we were able to do it inside the building and hug and touch and, you know, pray with people personally. But at least allowed us a chance to, they could see us really well through the window and hear us very well because of the sound system. We played music for them and read scripture and prayed with them. So it was really good. So it's just a matter of having creative ideas. And I would say for somebody in a wheelchair, I know of people who visit in care homes who are wheelchair bound. It kind of allows them to identify with you because they have issues that they're working through. I think people like particularly, and I don't know this because I have pretty decent sight, but I just think that people who don't, they see something else in people. They see beyond the skin, beyond the frailness, and they hear the person inside the body. And that gives the sight impaired person something that some of us sometimes have to work through before we can reach that kind of a relationship. And it can be a beautiful thing.
Well, do you have any stories that you can tell us about some of these people?
Yeah, I would have stories here about not only the residents, but some of the volunteers.
Sure.
Just before the pandemic, we had a Bible study in one of the homes, and it was kind of neat. One of the nurses asked me, hey, there's a gentleman up the hall who would like to speak to a minister. Would you go see him? Sure, I will. So I went up, and his name was Ed, and I went in. And I said, hey, I heard you wanted to visit with a minister. And he said, well, yeah, actually, I just wanted to speak to somebody intelligent. And I said, oh, well, I can help you with the minister part, but I don't know about the rest of your desire. He thought that was kind of fun. And as it turned out, he was a Jewish man who was not a believer. He kind of believed in his Jewish heritage, but really had a very interesting and what I would say inaccurate view of even the Jewish faith. He was not a practicing Jew. He just had the, you know, the background as a Jew. Anyway, we became friends, and he was an extremely antagonistic person. The thing is when we go in to visit in the homes, our first goal is not to evangelize or convert somebody. Our first and primary goal is to develop a caring friendship.
Good.
Whether or not you accept the Lord or not, I'm your friend to the end.
Right.
And, you know, it's not about me getting another person in the kingdom, although my ultimate goal is, if you are willing and open,
sure,
I will share scripture with you to the place where you take Jesus's hand, and then I will help you grow in your relationship with him. So that's how we teach our volunteers to do that. And there's a way to approach that. Anyway, Ed was pretty antagonistic, and he would ask me a lot of kind of difficult to answer questions. And they were usually on the basis of, yeah, now I'm going to prove you wrong, Bill. And let me ask you this question. And what about this? And what about that? And that stuff doesn't bother me, because I think God has pretty big shoulders and he doesn't worry about people not liking him. But I remember saying to him once, you know, Ed, you're asking calculus type questions when you really need to know the basic math questions, answers rather. And he says, well, okay. Then we talked for a bit, and this is through several weeks of visiting. Finally, I realized that I wasn't really getting too far with him. He was very open. He wanted to talk about God, but he just couldn't hold on to anything. And I said, you know what, Ed? I think I understand something. There's a first step that you need to take. And if you would be willing to take this step, God, by his Spirit, will open your mind, and the things I'm telling you will make a lot more sense. And so I gave him a little card that has a prayer for salvation on it, to repent of your sins, invite Jesus into your heart, ask for his cleansing from his blood on your soul, and make a commitment to follow him. He read the card and he looked at it, and he looks at me, he gives me this stern look, and goes, so this is like the magic prayer. If I pray this thing, then I'm going to heaven, right? I said, it is not magic, but if your heart is right, you will find peace with God. Mm-hmm. And so he set the card down, he started talking about other things, and it was another probably 2 months of visiting. And the neat thing, though, is God put him in a room right next to where we had the Bible study. and so the Bible study was in a group, you know, like a large, like a dining room area. And so we have a sound system, and we're singing old hymns. And he asked, hey, can I have one of the old hymn books, you know, one of the hymn books to follow along? So we have these giant print hymns, and he's able to follow along and sing from his room. We couldn't hear him, but he could hear us. And then after the singing, we pass out a paper that has the scriptures on that we're going to talk about that day. So he always wanted one of those too. One time I went in his room, there was five verses on it. They're in giant print, and there's five verses, and he looks at it and he says, I agree with everything on this paper except for the first four. And I says, wow, well, at least you agree with one. But anyway, through time, Ed, hearing the word of God, hearing the songs and the prayers that we prayed, I went in his room one day, and the prayer card was on his table. He says, hey, look at that. So I picked up the prayer card. Oh, I got to tell you one other thing. On the back of the prayer card, there's a thing where it says, on this day, I prayed this prayer. And then write your name. So I pick up the card, and I'm looking at it. And in his antagonistic voice, he goes, well, turn it over. I turn it over, and his name and date was on that card.
Wow.
And I said, Ed, did you really mean this? And he said, yes. He said, I want to be a Christian. I said, welcome, brother, to the kingdom of heaven.
And wow.
it was from that time on, it was miraculous. It wasn't like he was still somewhat antagonistic, but his heart began to soften and he began to understand the scriptures that we were sharing. God did open his heart.
That concludes part one of this interview. We hope that you're enjoying it, and please stay tuned for part two of this interview in 2 weeks. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.